Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Are still talking. Now they're going to say something about how it is that they're understanding how it is that he's become visible to them. Antar dana bhave hetuhu bhavad udbhavena pramana tenasmat pitra yari Yadaiv anuvarnita raha udishta brahmakya rahasya. Why he did not remain invisible is stated. When Brahma, our father, who was born from you, relayed to us the secret truths. In other words, anuvarnita raha is the word, the phrase in the verse. He relayed to us the secret truths. In other words, he instructed us in the mystery called Brahman. So it sounds like Brahmakya Rahasya. What Brahma told them was impersonal. So they didn't get instructions on Krishna Katha. They didn't hear Krishna Katha from Brahma, they heard Brahma Katha. According to right here, Udishta Brahmakya Rahasya. Tadaiva Nak Karna Margina Tadrupataya Guham Buddhim Gato Siti Tadaptam Akshara Jusham Api Ti. Well, at that time, by the path of our ears, you entered the cave of our intelligence in that form, the form of impersonal Brahma. That the sages also expressed the same idea earlier when they spoke the words, even though we were devoted to the infallible Brahman. Did they say those words to somebody else? Akshara Jushamapi. Let me check. I can check by searching.
43.
No, it's not spoken by them. It was spoken by Maitreya. Who's speaking?
Brahma.
Brahma speaking. Yeah. Okay. I have to add a comment. No, Brahma said it. All right. Anyway, same idea was expressed earlier when Brahma spoke the words. Even though they were devoted to the infallible Brahman. Well, okay. Here's a Purva Paksha spoken by Narayan. He has a question. Nanu. Pitropadishtam bhavatam adrishyam atmatatvakyam raha. Aham tu anya eva syam drishya twat. But the mystery called the truth of the self in which your father instructed you was invisible to you. I, however, am something else since I am visible. Answer to that comment. Naivam asmat pratyagya Beden rasad ityahu tatvam iti. No, they answer. After all, we recognize you for what you are, and this refutes the possibility of you being different. This they speak in the verse beginning, tatvam tvam. So let's see Jiva Goswami's paraphrase of what those words mean. In the verse beginning, tat tam tvam. Is it the beginning of the verse?
Yes.
Okay. They say, what they say is paraphrased as follows. Hey Bhagavan, param kevalam atma tatvam brahmasarupam tvam vidama vidmaha pratyabhi janimaha. Okay, the words in the verse are Hey Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Param Atma Tattva, Tvam Vidama. We know you to be the Supreme Atma Tattva. He glosses that verb Vidama, which, what form could that be? It's not present tense, it's load? Vidatri? Anyway, he explains it as meaning present tense. Vidmaha, we know. Although it's not the present tense form. What is it? Anyway, it's not the regular form, but he glosses it as present tense, and not only that, he gives an equivalent verb. Vidma means know, but that means recognize. Pratyabhijanimaha. Pratyabhijya is recognition or recollection of something. Something you saw before, you remember it in your mind, that's pratyabhijna. Or something that you recognize what it is, that's pratyabhijna. Vidatri. Yes, so it is imperative, which doesn't really fit the meaning, so he glosses it as present, vidmaha. Okay. No, they answer. After all, we recognize you for what you are, and this refutes the possibility of you being different. This they speak in the verse beginning Tam Twam. O personality of Godhead, we recognize you for what you are. What does that mean? O personality of Godhead, we know or we recognize you as none other than the truth of the self, the essential self of Brahman. You are the Brahman that Brahman was talking to us about. Kena pratyabhi jani to. How do you recognize me? Answer. Samprati means aruna, satvena, asmas veva etad rupa vir bhavena, etavam tam palam nagyatavam tovayam, aruna tu sakshad anubhavena, Nishchintavanta iti sma ityartaha. How do you recognize me? Answer, by the real presence just now before us. In other words, by your appearance in this form of Narayan. For all this time, we did not know you. But now that you are directly perceived by us, you are visible to our eyes just as Brahman appears in the contemplation of a pure heart. In other words, you are not perceived as a material object of vision. Tvam shuddha chittau vrittau brahmavat netre pi asmakam spurasi natu drisha twena iti bhava. So they're not saying that you're impersonal, that's not what they're indicating, but that you are not material, and that's why you are this, we recognize you as Brahman in the sense of not being material. Nandrishitvena, you're not an object of sight. Well, they're seeing him, but he's not a material object of sight that's seen with ordinary mode of perception. He's seen because he's revealing himself. Otherwise, people don't see him. Ordinary eyes don't see him. So he's not drisha, he's not ordinarily visible. You are visible to our eyes just as Brahman appears in the contemplation of a pure heart. In other words, you are not perceived as a material object of vision. Okay. Na kevalam pratyabhigya matram ityahu. And further, the sages further state that they did not merely recognize him. It goes further than that. Not only did they recognize him, but esham, asmakam, ratim, rachayantam. Anyata ratirapi twayi asmakam no bhave iti bhavaha. You are making us feel attracted. Not only you recognize him, but you're making us feel attracted to you. Otherwise, it is implied, we would have never developed attraction to you. If you didn't show us yourself and we didn't recognize you, then we would never have become attracted like this. Okay. Now there's a commentary on this. The four Kumaras' previous attachment to the impersonal Supreme did not prevent them from developing love for the Supreme Lord, because they were never envious of him. Many impersonalists, however, harbor envy of the personality of Godhead. Vaishnavas disparagingly call them Mayavadis, because they think of not only the material creation as illusion, but also the Supreme Lord who created it. Theoretical knowledge is not enough in itself for full spiritual development. Okay, they recognized him, but that's not enough. A candidate for perfection must eventually perceive the truth directly with his senses, not just theoretically know him, and then even beyond that, must develop loving attraction within his heart. God is not perceived like material objects. Mind and senses have no power to bring him within their scope. Only when he is pleased to reveal himself to a faithful devotee do his divine energies awaken the devotee's spiritual senses. I'm just looking at the word devotees. Okay. All right, any questions? Sorry, your hand was up first.
Hello, maybe I'm wrong, but anyway, I tried to look at the commentaries to the one of the previous verses, Mishnah Chitranta 4, for this episode when Kumaras, they are traveling, then they entered.
Right? Oh, yes.
And one of the verses said that they got attraction, so. He explains that they have this attraction because of the influence of the yoga maya. And he explains that this yoga maya, he was expressing of the desire of spirit of himself. So,
by yoga maya. Yeah. Okay. But it looks like they didn't have such a desire before that moment. So only as they were coming right up to Vaikuntha did yoga maya plant the desire in their hearts.
And he explains that it was this yoga maya, she was fulfilling the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he wanted to make an attraction to him.
Yes.
And therefore she influenced them, they got attraction, they started looking for Krishna, and then they passed it. And finally, you can see that this verse, Shri Vasavi, he explains that only because Krishna wanted them to be attracted to him, they got this attraction.
And only because of that, they got angry at the gatekeepers, because they were eager to get inside. If they didn't care, they would have said, okay, we'll go somewhere else. But they were very much desiring to see Narayan, therefore they got angry. Okay. So that wasn't really a material anger, either. They shouldn't be blamed for it. Okay, anything else?
There is a difference between Lord Vishnu and Brahma.
What do you think?
previous attachment to the impersonal.
Well, there are different conceptions, different understandings of the same Supreme. So we can talk like that as if they were different, because to be attached or realize Brahma is not the same thing as being attached and realizing Krishna as the Supreme Person. So the realization is different, even though what they're realizing is the same thing, but they're realizing Him differently. So do I say it wrong? Do I actually say that Brahman and Bhagavan were different?
No.
Okay, but anyway, it's different realizations. Very much different.
Well, they can say that we would have never developed attraction to your divine form.
Okay, where is the sentence? Otherwise, we've never developed attraction to you. Well, that's all right. You Narayan. And that's the point. We would have stayed attraction just to your impersonal feature.
Yes, we move
on. Yeah. They're talking to Narayan.
Yeah, no
capital U. You're not talking to Brahma. Yeah. Yes? You entered the cave of our heart in that form of cave of our intelligence in that form of impersonal Brahma. Well, he entered their hearts. He entered their intelligence. It doesn't say that they saw him with some visual perception. But they recognized the absolute truth in some way. You know, a light or a heat or just a good feeling or something. It doesn't say they saw anything. Am I looking at the right sentence?
You are visible to our eyes just as Brahman appears in the contemplation of our true heart.
Well, let me see. Okay, I'm looking at Brahmapat Maitri. Well, it says Shuddha Spurasi is the verb, okay? And the relative clause is just like Brahman in a pure heart. And the verb must be the same, Spurasi. There's no verb in that Vat clause. So it's the same Spurasi. You appear in like Brahman. Saying that, we understand it's actually Krishna. They think they're seeing the impersonal truth. Seeing or spurasi, manifest. There's some kind of manifestation. It may not be a visual one. They notice something. You know, it says that Jiva Goswami is telling us that. It doesn't explain what these impersonalists could experience, but they're experiencing something. Yes? Otherwise all the talk about Brahmananda and Brahman realization, it's all a bunch of lies if there's no realization at all of anything.
He can understand by feeling Lord Brahman, but I'm still wondering how can they understand
by usually Brahman is described as
Brahman.
Yes. It doesn't say see. It says Maitreyi. See here says even before our eyes you are appearing. But Brahman appears in the heart, doesn't say visually, doesn't say as something that you see. There's some sort of awareness of something, but not necessarily as a form that is seen. And you're arguing because there is no form to see. You're right, but still there's some experience there. Upanishads say that those who meditate on Brahma, they experience something special. So we don't want to say that the Upanishads are lying. They must be experiencing something. But it's not a something you draw a picture of. There's no form. But you can experience, you know, perception, visual perception usually has form. And other perceptions don't. Form is a special quality of light. And the eyes perceive light. So the eyes, the sense of sight is perceiving forms. Other senses don't, really. Although you can touch a form and, you know, see what shape it is. But the actual perception of the form is done by the sense of sight. Other senses and the mind can perceive things without form. And even the sense of sight, you could just see, without seeing any shape of anything, just, you know, you see bright light, and you don't see anything. Your eyes are just blinded. Or your eyes are closed and you just see, you know, like a mass of color or light. It has no form. So visual perception is not always having a form. Even visual perception, what's made of perception by the other senses and directly by the mind? Well, you know, you feel happy. Today I feel happier than I did yesterday. So what's the shape? What does that happiness look like? It doesn't have a shape. You can make a picture, but that's a make-believe picture. It doesn't really have a visible form. Although it's, you're experiencing it. Yes?
Krishna and Arjuna went to Vaikuntha, they crossed through Brahman effulgence, where you also see that the horses, when they saw the effulgence, they become not interested. Some descriptions. It seems like the Krishna's chariot horses, they saw the effulgence, and Arjuna also saw the effulgence. Scenes mentioned there also.
Yeah, but it says, described that they're blinded by it. Yeah, they were blinded by it. And then Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra to give some light they could see by it, but the effulgence itself was blinding. Or they were in darkness first, and then they were in light, but they couldn't see in the light. What happened then? Anyway, Krishna just drove the horses, even though Arjuna couldn't see anything, and they got out of that part, went into the actual Vaikuntha region. So that light of Brahman is actually blinding. It's a great light, but you can't see anything. Hiranyamayena Patrena Lokasya Paitavantam. The sage is praying at the end of the Ishopanishad that your actual features are covered by this glaring effulgence. Please remove it so I can see you as you are. Satya Dharma Sudrishtaye. Without getting that effulgence removed, I can't perceive anything. I can't see any form. Yes. Just like, you know, suppose, you know, you're going to light up a stage performance. But if you make too much light, all you see is a bunch of light. You can't see the actors. Or the actors can't see the audience because of all the light. So too much light blinds you. Yes.
Then Brahma, our father, who was born from you and led to us the secret truth, instructed us in the mystery called Brahman. So, why did Lord Brahma, he taught the personal knowledge? Because he had a realization of personality about it.
Yes. But you may be a Vaishnava, but you cannot share your knowledge with those who don't have the adhikar. Should you go out in the street and tell the first person you meet about the intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna? That person has to have some adhikara. So the kumara is the adhikara was Brahma realization. So that's all Brahma told them, even though we knew more. Yeah. Uddhava, you had something?
Himself, Lord, he asked to for Kumara. Yes. How do you recognize me?
How do you recognize me?
Yeah, here's a question. How do you recognize me?
Yes.
He asked.
Yes.
Then I don't know how they answer this question. Then he asked this question. How?
You mean how is this an answer?
Yeah. How they answer this question?
Well, the everything in the quotes after that is the answer.
Yeah, there right? are like two opinions. Opinions are there.
Two opinions? Where it says by the real, how do you recognize me? And the answer is.
Yeah, first they said just you appeared in front of us.
Yeah.
And just by that.
No, yeah.
No, how can we understand that just it appeared in. He in front of him, in front of them.
Well,
it's not a.
It's not an answer. It's not an. You're not satisfied by that answer. It doesn't explain how they can recognize him. Okay. Maybe I have to consider that. Let me look at Sanskrit. See if I have it right. Kanaspirasi. Where's the question? Kena prachyami janita. Well, the answer is at the end of the sentence. Adunatu sakshat anubhavena nishchitavanta. We've come to a conclusion by direct perception. You know, direct perception doesn't need usually logical justification. You see something with your own eyes, you should believe it. You know, there are flying saucers. I saw one last night. I saw it with my own eyes. I don't care about all the logical arguments against the existence. I saw one. So seeing something right in front of you is proof enough, unless there's something wrong with your eyes. So we've concluded you are the absolute truth, because we're seeing you in front of us, and it's obvious you're the absolute truth. That's all. Direct perception itself is enough proof.
But yeah, it's clear because
that. Well, that's the answer to how do you know on the absolute truth, or is that no? Yeah, how do you recognize me? We recognize you because you're it. We're looking at you, and you're obviously it.
And it's clear. They said you are making us attracted to you. That we can understand. But anyone can appear in front of them, you know. And just by seeing anyone, they can't say, oh, you are true.
Well, iti bhava, the idea is, you're not appearing like an ordinary object. We see you in front of us. Well, we can see, all sorts of things in front of us. That doesn't make them the absolute truth. But we're seeing you in a special way. We're seeing you now the way that yogis see Brahman in their hearts. And we know about that, because we do that. We see Brahman in our hearts. We're experienced yogis. And you're appearing like that, not like an external sense object. You're in front of us, but you're appearing as if you were in our heart. And we know what it's like to experience Brahman in the heart. We can recognize it because we have the experience of it. And you're outside, but you're appearing the way that Brahman appears in the heart. Not like something on the outside.
His main answer is that you are the Brahman appearing in the heart.
Yeah.
Because that aim
is. Main answer is which?
What?
What is the main answer?
It looks like you are making us feel affected.
No, that's later. That's added. That's not part of the argument. The kevalam pratyagyamatram ityahu esham ratim. That's after the. Made their proof. Then they say, not only do we recognize you, but you're also making us attracted to you. That's not reason why. That's an additional fact. They say, we recognize you. He says, how do you recognize me? They give their answer, their proof. After that they say, and not only we recognize you, you're also making us attracted to you. That's not part of the proof of why they, how they're sure it's him. The proof is we see you with our own eyes, but we don't see you the way we see some material thing. We see you the way yogis see Brahman in their hearts. It's a special kind of vision. But we're, you know, normally it's just in the heart and it's just Brahman realization. But we're seeing that same special mode of perception. Just like, you know, when you listen to music on the radio, or when they used to have record players and tape recorders, they still do, I mean, you know, there was static and crackling you would hear, and you knew it wasn't live music. When you hear live music, you know what it is, you recognize, this is live, this is not a recording. So like that, it's as if everything, all material perception, the yogis understand material perception is inferior and false. And they learn how to recognize the difference between real perception and false perception, because that's their practice. Like distinguishing between, you know, an imperfect recording and a live performance. An experienced listener can tell the difference. So the yogis can tell the difference between the real perception of Brahman and the false perception of material things. And they're saying, we perceive you, we see you, but we can recognize this is not a material perception. It's the spiritual perception that we thought only happens in the heart, in the impersonal form. Now you're a person, you're standing in front of us, and we're getting that same direct, pure perception, not a material, inferior perception. That's the argument.
The question. It's not clear why Mataji didn't preach about Krishna, about Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Maybe he did, they weren't listening. All they heard was Brahman. He may have been trying to tell them about Krishna, but this, you know. Sometimes you preach to, you know, you go to a Mayavadi, you tell them all about Krishna consciousness, and they just hear what they want to hear.
But in this context, it looks like they are blaming to Brahma, you know, he didn't preach us properly, you know, he said about Brahman.
No,
before.
Are they blaming him? They're giving him credit.
It looks like,
they're saying that thanks, no, but they're giving him credit. That he told us about Brahman, made us into good Brahmavadis, and thanks to that, now we're able to become devotees. They're giving him credit for making it possible for them to become devotees by first helping them become Brahman realized. That's the way they're talking here. Maybe they're thinking, you know, to blame Brahma, but not saying that.
I mean, that it sounds like that, you know.
Where does it sound like that? See, they're not denigrating, they're not speaking bad about the realization of Brahman.
You know, you said that this is Brahma, our father, was born from you.
Yes.
Right? And said he had enough knowledge about you, and he knew everything about you.
Well, maybe, yeah.
But that's your style, you're not saying like this, they are thanking for this, he gave us that knowledge.
Yes.
But in that, it sounds like, you know, they were saying he had enough knowledge that he didn't preach. Otherwise, we spent so much time here and there in Brahman realization and this, that. And at last, now we preach to you.
I don't see that here. I don't see, you know, that they're thinking like that. The thing is, they consider it very valuable that they know what Brahman is. When they see Narayan, they don't think he's just an attractive person. They realize that's Brahman, because we know Brahman. Our father taught us about Brahman. So the fact that they know Brahman helps them recognize that Narayan is Brahman. Otherwise, they just think he's a super demigod or just some special person. So, and they're not saying, oh, our father, all he told us about that stupid, useless Brahman. No, they're thinking that this knowledge of Brahman was very useful, because now they can apply that this four-armed person is Brahman, the absolute truth.
By that knowledge, they recognized Vishnu himself.
Right, but recognize that he is the absolute truth. That's important. If we don't recognize that, if we jump to the Rasa-lila, not studying the first nine cantos, and we don't thoroughly understand that Krishna is Brahman, the absolute truth, then we become sahajas.
Is that that knowledge is very helpful for?
They're thinking yes. They're showing, yeah, the argument that, that we can recognize you as the same Brahman that yogis see in the heart, or perceive in the heart. But they can talk about that, not only theoretically, they've had the experience, they've had the training of perceiving Brahman. They're talking from the experience of actual Brahmavadis, so of actually perceived the Brahman. They're not just talking words.
They had that experience.
They had that experience, yes. They were Brahman realized.
Thanks.
Sure. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochati Nashkanshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhbhaktim Labhate Param. Krishna is describing Brahma Bhuta realization, Brahman realization, as leading in to pure devotional service. Not that everybody should become an impersonalist first and then a devotee, but as a devotee, we have to understand what the absolute truth is. We can skip the impersonal part, that's recommended. We don't have to be impersonalists at any stage. But we do have to recognize that Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. He's God, he's the creator, everything is his energy, and he's the controller of everything. We have to understand that. That's Brahman realization. Then we become equally disposed. Because we know that that supreme absolute truth is totally in control of everything. Nothing's out of control, nothing's unfair, nothing's accidental. And we don't have any enemies. We have no one to be angry at. We're just suffering results of our own misdeeds if we're suffering. So, nashochati nakamshati, no more hankering and lamentation. That's Brahman realization. And you have to reach that before you can enter the realm of pure devotional service. Unless you're already liberated. Okay, if you're already liberated, but you've got to be liberated. Either be liberated already or you have to become liberated. Then you can enter pure devotional service. Practice the devotional service you can practice before being liberated. But the higher levels of spontaneous, actual devotion can only be entered by those who are liberated. Okay. Let's try to read another paragraph. Yeah, okay. Niraham manadi twain anyesham api atmaramanam anyato ratyabhavam eva dyotayantas tadatmatatvam ahuhu. Hinting, now moving on, hinting that even other self-satisfied sages fail to be attracted to anything else by virtue of their freedom from selfish ego and other faults. Let me say freedom from selfish ego and from other faults, because it sounds like freedom from selfish ego is a fault. By virtue of being free from selfish ego and freedom from other faults, they don't become attracted to anything else. Self-satisfied sages. The sages describe the truth of the self. Let me see if I got that right. Not only themselves, they're a special case, they've gotten special mercy. But other Atmaramas like us, even ones who never came to Vaikuntha, all they know is Brahman. But even that slight, partial manifestation of you in the form of impersonal Brahman is enough to free them from attraction to other things. Okay? Even impersonalist yogis who are successful and actually realize Brahman, Atmaramas, they don't have material attachment. That's the potency of Krishna. Even in his impersonal form, he frees those who worship him, who meditate on him, he frees them from material attachment. So, hinting that, the sages describe that truth of the self, the Atma-tattva. To drive a sadhana vaishishtyad, kimapi vaishishtyam chahu. Specifically, they describe a certain special aspect which is realized by a special kind of practice. Okay, in general, Atmarama, self-satisfied, liberated sages, they become free from material attachments. But there's something special beyond that, and that is, Yat twad rupena twain avirbhavad atmatattvam, te nuta paha kripa, te naiva viditaya vrita bhakti yogaya viduhu. The truth of the self, which is now appearing in your form, the form of Narayan, is realized by the painstaking process of devotional service. Dritta Bhakti Yoga, I said painstaking process of devotional service. Taking pains, taking trouble. Working, you know, trying hard. You know, so I translate it to Dritta, painstaking. That means you take pains, that means you don't take it easy, you're willing to take some pain to get something valuable. Painstaking. You're very diligent and you're very attentive and you're careful to do everything right. That's painstaking. Means taking pains, painstaking. Yes? It doesn't mean that you actually have to, it doesn't mean you stick yourself with knives to get pain. It's not that you need pain, but you're willing to accept pain to get what you need. Well, by painstaking, the word is just dritta, firm, determined, devotional service. It doesn't, painstaking doesn't mean there has to be any pain. It means that you take the trouble that has to be taken. You know, not that it has to be painful. But it's austere, you know, it's austere, it's a discipline. And you have to be serious about it. That's all. But it's very hard to meditate on something that's impersonal. It's unnatural, so it's hard. That's a different idea. Let's finish the paragraph. Okay, I'll read that sentence again. The truth of the self, which is now appearing in your form, is realized by the painstaking process of devotional service. And these processes are known only by your compassion, your kindness. Take anutapa, which means kripa, mercy, kindness. But we can look at another interpretation. Yadva anutapo dainyam. See, anutapa can mean mercy, it can also mean remorse, being sorry for what you did. Dainyam, utter humility. Tena viditais te tava dritta bhakti yogai. Or alternatively, it is known by the painstaking process of your devotional service, which themselves, processes of devotional service, which themselves are known by feeling remorse, utter humility. You want to experience, or you want to understand the painstaking processes of devotional service, well, you better feel some remorse. If you're satisfied in being a rebel against Krishna and you don't feel sorry for it, then the processes of devotional service won't be revealed to you. You got to feel sorry first. We're out of time. We won't be able to finish. We'll have to continue this. Any questions? Yes. Yeah, but how did he give him the attraction? By the form. So it's going around a circle. If you want to argue that they saw the form because of the attraction, but the story is they got the attraction because they saw the form. It's like the Dehidas showed them special mercy. They're impersonal sages. What are they doing walking into Vaikuntha? But it was Narayan's special mercy on them. Let them in. They didn't belong. They weren't supposed to be allowed in. And they weren't supposed to get a vision of Narayan. He just gave that away to them, causelessly. That's the first cause, is that he just showed himself to them. He just revealed, let them into Vaikuntha and revealed himself to them. And first of all, put a desire in their heart. And just put it there. Everybody just put it there, a desire to see him. Devotees are, you know, we're struggling 30, 40 years to try to get a desire to see Krishna. And they're getting a desire for free.
Because it is desire to see the fact, because it was like a seed of attraction to him, because it is attraction, Krishna showed.
Yeah. Jesus had cast pearls before a swine. He's not going to show himself to people who aren't interested. He's not going to waste his time and energy doing that. So, first of all, he made them interested. And he just had Yogamaya do that. They're okay, they're self-realized. Give them a break. Yogamaya, make them interested. Give them some desire. Then I'll show myself. And we'll also have a good fight. They'll get frustrated and angry because they can't see me. They'll curse my gatekeepers. And I'll be able to kill their Adhikasha Lord and Niranyaksha. And my famous pastimes will be revealed.
So about this Daniel, we can feel this only when we get suspicion, when we get suspicion, because otherwise we don't know anything to compare this with experience which we have in Vasya or not. So it looks like that this humility is also a gift.
It's not something you can just fake. You can't just fake it externally. It has to be, it's a gift. It's a gift from the Vaishnavas who have it. They can share it with you. I think we have to stop. Anyway, we're going to discuss the same paragraph next time. On Sunday. So we can answer the questions then. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
I can give you